day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
By faith.
Only speak the word, your petition, and by faith, right now it's done. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say by faith it will be done. Somebody say praise the Lord. How many of you are in a good mood? Why don't you give somebody a hug this morning, right where you are? We got a terrible buzz. Okay. Does he need to bring you up out there? Can you go to that bass channel and bring that bass channel up just a little bit for me? The bass. Tell them when you want them to step. For the bass. Well, let's have some fun. A river will flow. Let's have some fun. A river will flow through our hearts, through our hearts, from God's throne. A river of peace, a river of love, a river of healing, a river of healing from above. A river will flow, a river will flow, a river will flow our hearts, through our hearts, from God's throne. River of peace, a river of love, river of healing, a river of healing from a river will flow, 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 a river will flow through our hearts, through our hearts. From God's throne, a river of peace, a river of peace, a river of love, a river of love, a river of healing, a river of healing from above. Come and drink. Come and drink this living water. Giving life. Giving life through Jesus Christ. Want my heart fit by His Spirit. Will flow the power of God. A river will flow, yeah. A river will flow from our hearts. From our hearts. From the flow. River of healing. A river of peace. A river of love. A river of healing. River of healing from above, a river will flow, a river will flow, a river will flow from our hearts, from our hearts to God's throne. River of peace, river of peace, a river of love, river of healing, a river of healing from up. Come and drink. Come and drink this living water. Giving life. Giving life through Jesus Christ. From a heart filled by His Spirit.
We'll flow.
We'll flow the power.
Let's sing that again. We'll flow the power of God.
We'll flow the power of God.
We'll flow the power.
We'll flow the power of God.
We'll flow the power.
We'll flow the power of God.
We'll flow the power of God.
We'll flow the power of God.
Me believe it.
We'll flow the power of God.
How many believe it?
We'll flow the power of God.
Somebody say amen. Find yourself a prayer partner this morning. Somebody that knows how to pray. Amen. If they look like they need a prayer, you don't want that prayer partner. Amen. Just find somebody to pray. Amen.
From your eyes, it's gonna be alright. You got the wings, you can fly away. So wipe the tears from your eyes, it's gonna be alright. You got the wings, you can fly. Wipe the tears from your eyes, it's gonna be alright. You got wings you can fly away. So wipe the tears from your eyes, it's gonna be alright. You got wings you can fly.
Somebody wipe the tears.
Whoa. So wipe the tears from your eyes. It's gonna be alright.
Do you believe?
You got wings you can fly away.
You can fly away.
Fly away. So wipe the tears from your eyes. It's gonna be alright. You got wings you can fly.
Yeah. She said say one more time. Will you sing it if we do one more time? Find yourself a new partner and sing to him. Ready? Well, so wipe the tears from your eyes. It's gonna be alright. You got the wings you can find. Fly away, away. You're right. Hey, you're gonna be alright. You got wings, you can fly away. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. Hey, it's gonna be alright. Tell them it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. Alright, alright. Alright, alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. Yeah. Alright, alright. It's gonna be alright. Tell somebody it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. Tell somebody, you're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright. Wipe the tears from your eyes. You're gonna be alright. Doesn't matter. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright. Give him a shout of praise. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright.
Good morning. Oh, that was pretty weak. Good morning. All right, that's better. Isn't God good? All the time. We've got several opportunities for you this week. We have some visitors here, and I just wanted to let you know about what we've got coming up this week. Tonight we'll be back at 7 o'clock. We have our 7 o'clock service. We encourage you to come to as many of the meetings as you can and just saturate yourself in the Word of God. Wednesday night we'll be here at 8 o'clock. On Friday mornings we have our Watering Word Seed at 11 o'clock at Sister Billy Coon's house. It's a wonderful opportunity for the Bible study. You can see one of us or go to our website for the directions. Friday night is 8 o'clock meeting. Is our Holy Ghost meeting. It's an awesome meeting. I encourage you, you don't want to miss that. And of course, Sunday mornings, we're here at 11. We've got our family picnic coming up. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be at North Shore Park on Monday, May 19th. I have flyers. If you haven't gotten one, I'll get you signed up. We're going to have both of our services out there. So it's going to be an exciting time. I encourage you to bring friends along with you. We're going to really outreach to the community. So.
Well, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Tell them, come on. You're going to be all right. All right. You're going to be all right. All right. You're gonna be alright. Shout me out. You're gonna be alright. Alright, 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 alright. You're gonna be alright. You, Lord, just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're gonna be alright. You're gonna be alright.
Amen. Well, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. How many of you are glad that? Amen. Just keep your heart in an attitude of worship as we move into this time. This is worship, the same as we sing songs or lift our hands to praise God. This is another way that we can worship God. If you need an offering envelope this morning, if you're giving by cash, raise your hand and we can get one to you. Okay. When everybody's ready, stand up. Even if you don't have an offering this morning, stand up in faith that God will give seed to the sower, because he will. So just lift your seed up in the air. If you don't have seed this morning, just lift your hand up in faith, and we're going to bless it this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you with these offerings, God. We ask your blessings upon them. God, we thank you for Nations Church, and we call it blessed in the name of Jesus. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Father, I pray that every need that's in this house this morning is met in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for all the wonderful, awesome things you're doing. And we just praise you with these offerings this morning, and we bring them boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible says to bring your tithes and offerings. So here at Nations Church, we walk up to the front to bring your offerings. You can go ahead and do that now.
Strong tower, the righteous run into it. They all sing. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. They all sing. Your kids can go to children's church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. 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 One more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Hallelujah.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's try. Let's try it and see. Give me a C chord, Chris.
Spring up a well within my soul.
Let's sing that together. Come on.
And let your living waters flow.
Sing, spring up a well. Come on, spring up a well.
Spring up a well within my soul. And let your living waters flow.
Mighty rushing river, come on.
Mighty rushing river, move over me.
And let your waters wash me clean.
And let your waters wash me clean.
Mighty rushing river.
Mighty
mighty rushing river move over me. And let your waters, and let your waters wash me. Spring up a well. Spring up a well within my soul. And let your living waters flow.
All right, guys. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis as he gets us some light. Amen. Genesis chapter 18. Somebody say praise God for that. Is it kind of hot in here, y'all? Y'all like it like this? Are y'all cold? They feel good. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Didn't they do good this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody say thank God for the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Who do we got out there? Somebody say thank you, Jesus. All right. Genesis chapter 18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18. Let's go. No, yeah, 18 is good. Who's a real good reader? Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. There's some cool stuff in the Bible, isn't it? Does yours say, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merv? And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood with him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Wow, isn't that cool? Basically, Abraham was a man of faith. Everybody, he's the father of all of our faith. Abraham is the father of faith. And God appeared to someone that had the potential to have great faith. Do you know it's possible to have an encounter with God? How would you like to wake up one morning and God's at your door? How would you like to have that happen? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Someone said, I'd like anybody to show up at my door except a bill collector, huh? But one morning he woke up, went out there, and God was at his door. And Abraham, most of us, we could miss God. You know that any good thing that we want to happen in our life is going to come from who? All blessings come from where? Come from God. So whenever God comes across your path or comes to your doorstep, he's looking to do you good, and you're going to have to learn from people of great faith how to get things from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, why do you got to get it from God? Because he's the one that's got it. Who do you want to get it from? The devil? God wants to do you good. He wants to bless you. Amen. And we pray that as we worship God, as we serve God, as we do all these things, you might have an encounter with God. How many would like to have an encounter with God? Amen. And then when you get that encounter with God, we want to let you know how to get blessed by it, right? So he said, listen, pass not away, God. Don't book from me. Don't leave me. Abraham, I tell you what, had some great faith. Because some of us believe that we've had encounters with God. I believe I've had one, you know? And that automatically took me out of Abraham's league. You know, this sentence right here, pass not away, God, I pray thee. You know what? I believe one time years ago, I was just in my bedroom as a teenager, and God, I believe God came in my room. And I was not able to say, God, please don't pass away from me. You know, I was praying, Lord, when does this thing get to be over? Because it was too overwhelming for me. Everybody says, I see God, I see God. It nearly blew my mind. But Abraham had such great faith that he was not shaken, that Jesus, that God himself could stand in front of him. And Abraham just bowed down. He said, oh, that's God. And he said, listen, don't go away so quickly. I want to get in contract with you. Faith is all about covenants. Everybody say covenants. It's all about business. Did you know that's what faith is? Faith is cutting a business deal with God. So all of a sudden, God came to Abraham's door, and Abraham looked at God in the face and said, listen, don't go anywhere. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, many of us feel the presence of God knocking at our door. You know, we can't wait to run out the church door. We can't wait. We get so freaked out when God crosses the norm.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's our job to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody say Ghost. God is not dead. Did you know that? We're not just preaching religion. We're preaching about a living individual, and his name is Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, when we all put our faith together, we all put our heart together, amen, we all unite, we all worship God together, every once in a while, he'll show up. Somebody say, show up.
Show up.
It's quiet in here this morning, amen, but I'm going to enjoy myself. He said, listen, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Isn't that a trip? He's sitting there talking to God. It says some. This teaches us something about God, doesn't it? That he looked at God. Actually, God was at his door with these three men with him. We don't know who the three men were. But he looked at God and he said, listen, don't go away so quickly. Rest yourself. And you know, so we know that God is like us. We were made in the image of God. And someone tries to figure out what God looks like. Obviously, he looked like something that needed a rest at that time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm not saying he looked tired, but Abraham said, rest. And he said, listen, I want to go get you something. And people try to make God to be out all mystical and some mystical and some big force. But God is like us. Yes, he does. You know, he eats. Jesus Christ is God. And after Jesus got his resurrected body, he came back down and taught with those disciples. And the first thing he did when he hooked up back with them again, you know, after he went up to heaven, he came back down and taught them for 40 days. Well, the first thing he did, he had a fish fry. They all went out and they saw Jesus on the shore of the water, and he was cooking fish for everybody, and they all did eat. So they say, praise the Lord. So God wants to fellowship with us. Now, right here, he said, now listen, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. Wow. So many times people of faith are always thinking what we can get out of God, and it's nice to get good, to let God bless us, and it delights the heart of God to bless his children. You know, when God does good things for you, it pleases himself. He gets more blessed when you get blessed than you do. When he does something for you, he gets more out of it than you do. So, I mean, some of us, we can't even say thank you. We, you know, it's no big deal to us. But whenever God does something good in your life, he gets all excited about it. He pats himself on the back. But Abraham was a great man of faith. And you know what? He taught us faith. And Jesus was born in his lineage for this very reason, because of his mentality. Somebody said faith. Mentality. And this is what faith mentality is. He said, listen, don't go away so quickly. Sit here and comfort ye your hearts. Everybody say, comfort the heart of God. How many of you thought that you could ever comfort the heart of God? How many want to have the faith of Abraham, Abraham's faith? Abraham believed God. Amen. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. Amen. Because he was somebody that got with God. Faith starts with somebody saying, listen, God, first of all, exists. He comes to meet with us. And when he comes to meet with us, we want to have fellowship with God. Somebody say fellowship. With the presence of God. So we have these Holy Ghost meetings. You know, that's what you can do. You can comfort. The Holy Spirit is the great comforter. So one way that you can comfort the heart of God, now I'm not saying God is not out there to where he won't come and visit you, but one way that you can comfort the heart of God is to find him in a holy place and pray and worship God and tell him how special he is. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now he said, comfort your hearts, and after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come, somebody say, are ye come to your servants? Isn't that a trip? God showed up and Abraham told God what he was trying to do. He said, therefore, are ye come to your servants? He said, you've come here that I might be able to do what? That I might be able to comfort your heart. So he says, why is God in my face? Why is God knocking on my door? Well, because he wants to bless you? No, he's just a blessing. That's what he does. You can't hang around God without getting blessed. Amen? But when God hangs around you, or when God gets into your life and you feel him on your presence, you know what he's really pulling on? He desires you to comfort his heart. Everybody wonder about it. I don't have no friends. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. One thing I found out, this is a one-way relationship. Amen. Our relationship with God is totally one way. He will always love you more than you love him. He always wants to hang out with you more than you desire to hang out with him. Amen. He will always bless you before you bless him. Amen. Amen. You don't have to remind him of your birthdays and all that stuff, but we forget him all the time. Why did Jesus save you? To keep you from hell? No. Amen. Jesus saved you that you might be able to be in fellowship with him. That's what your salvation's all about. That's what salvation is all about. You're not saved just to escape hell. I believe people that got saved just so they didn't want to go to hell, they'll go to hell. Because salvation is based on devotion and love and relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't scare anybody into heaven. I mean, if we could scare people in heaven, God could have just sent a bunch of demons down here to scare us. And that would have been the evangelistic call. You know, let all the demons loose, and as they see your face, they'll all run to heaven. God's not going to chase us into heaven. That's why I don't get in those messages, you know, it's fire and all this. There's some of them we ought to put the fear of God in them, you know, and they'll get afraid. But the only thing that will save people and get people dedicated to God and keep them running in there when they find out that God loves them and they love God. And they don't want to do anything to cause that relationship to falter. Now, I know there's a heaven, and I know we don't have to go to hell. Somebody say, thank God for that. When you're saved, you don't have to go to hell, and you get to go to heaven. But I tell you what, all those things are wonderful, and all those things are great. If there wasn't a hell, and there is, and if there wasn't a heaven, and there is, still love God. Because that's the person that he is, and that's what salvation is all about. It's all about relationship. Nobody's trying to get you contracted into a religion. We're trying to introduce you to a very special person. Amen. And his name is God. Amen. So the root of all faith is God coming to you and say, listen, comfort. Somebody say, that's what you're there for. Abraham had it. He said, for therefore are ye come to your servants. Look at somebody and say, God's coming to you. And all he wants is for you to comfort his heart. That's an easy job, isn't it? Now, you know you can't buy God nothing. Amen? You got to get real creative. You have to get real creative when you start thinking about how can I comfort the heart of God. And they said so, and they said so, so do as thou hast said. So that statement right there, then God looked at Abraham and said, all right, then do what you said. So he didn't offend God, right? If the statement was wrong, then God would have corrected him, right? No, but God didn't correct him right there. Then he said, listen, then do what you've said. Then just comfort the heart of God. Somebody say, amen? Now, before all things, before Abraham was promised that son and all this other stuff, before all that faith stuff, listen, when we start to hear about faith, we start thinking about all the things that Abraham did and Abraham's seed and all that other stuff. But before all that stuff, the very root of faith is somebody that decided to comfort the heart of God. Then after the fact, as he was comforting the heart of God, look what happened. Amen. Right here, go on over to verse 6. And Abraham, somebody say, hastened. Say, how many of you want to move in faith? I don't believe any slow people have faith. People that get excited about their business, they get excited about what God told them to do, they don't move slowly. There are evidences to inspiration, and there are evidences to faith. Some say faith has life. Please don't interrupt. Somebody say praise God. Faith has life. Everybody say life. An action. So notice that this man of faith, he was going to comfort the heart of God, and he didn't sit there and think about it. He moved, somebody say, quickly. Abraham hastened. The father of faith did what? Hastened. Somebody say faith. It never says in scripture that Abraham moved real slow. Abraham heard God speak and he got up and left. If you want to move in supernatural faith, you got to get up and move. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready. He said, look, Sarah, get ready. Everybody say, get ready. And he didn't just tell her to get ready. He said, get ready what? Quickly. Everybody write these words down. Hasten and quick. Write them down real quick. There are a lot of people that blow their faith off and don't get their miracle because they're slow. Somebody say amen. Blessings of God will come in the room, and while you're thinking about it, it's gone. Somebody say, hey, if you want a blessing, get down here real quickly. And people will say, well, I'm going to wait and hold. And by the time you get there, it's gone. There are windows of opportunity and seasons of God's blessing and seasons of God's grace. And those that are quick, somebody say amen. Well, get it. So Abraham, this man of faith, he was teaching his family the same thing. He said, now listen, Sarah, go get this stuff ready, and don't get it ready slow. Get it ready quick. And listen, and he said, do all these other things in verse 7. And Abraham did what? Everybody see what Abraham did? Listen, verse 7. And Abraham did what? What did Abraham do?
Ran.
So we see several words here. We see ready, quick. We see hasten, ready, quick, run. How many of y'all are ready to get out of your rut? How many are ready to get out of your rut? Notice that they said this faith thing, run the race. That's a race. So we got to what? Hasten, get ready quickly, and run. He said, now Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf and attended. He did all this other stuff, and he took and he made this big old meal. Skip on down the verse 8. Verse 9. And he said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife will have a son. Now, all y'all know that Sarah was about 100, almost 100 years old. And she always wanted kids. And everybody else had kids but her. Amen? And she just wanted this kid so bad. And she was trying to believe God and trust God. And God, you know, never got this kid. Then all of a sudden, God shows up at her door when she's 100 years old and said, you finally going to get the kids you want. Amen? So he said, now listen, I will according to the time of life. Everybody, that's a powerful word. Somebody say, according to the time of life. You all have a time of life. Do you know that? And many of you throw away blessings because you are according to the time of death. According to the time of the world. Everybody else in the world gets it at this time. You know, many of our blessings are set for a certain time in our life. Mr. Wright waits to come along. Mrs. Wright waits to come along. Your blessings may wait. Different things, you know, everybody else is first. And why does it seem like you're just so caught up on the last one? Because you're experiencing life. Someone say, according to the time of the life that God has for you. Don't let people make you feel guilty or pressured or worn out because you're just not on everybody else's time frame. Amen? Someone say, according to the time of life. She was 100 years. I'd say, hey, listen, that's according to the time of life for you. I'm nearly, am I 37 or 36? How old am I? 36. I'm 36. I feel like I'm about 16. I ain't trying to be young. I am young. Amen. Somebody say praise God. And I see people, you know, they get out there, you're about the same age. They way down the road. I can be 16 as long as I want to. Amen. I'm going to milk life for everything it's worth. I ain't on nobody's time frame. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. God knows how long I'll live. We're promised over 120 years. Do you know that? Amen. You're promised over 120 years. So when it comes to blessings and things like that, you hasten with your faith. And you hasten in obedience to serve God. You rush to serve God. Amen. But wait patiently for the blessing. Somebody say, hallelujah. See, many of us are rushing to get stuff. Rush to comfort God. Amen. Seek ye first. I'm going to say first. The kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Hasten to love God. Amen. Then he will turn around and say, according to the time of life, I'm going to give you exactly what I promised you. And lo, Sarah, thy wife will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent of the door and what which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. And well stricken in age. Everybody, I like that word, well stricken in age. And I had to study that in the Bible. I studied that to find out what well stricken in age meant. It meant whipped up pretty bad. Amen? I mean, it said they were wrecked in age. Amen. They were worn. I mean, they weren't looking too good. Amen. They were having some trouble. Amen. And some of they were hitting it. Amen. They could barely move. Now here are these old beat up people. Somebody say amen. Many people think they're ready to kick it. And said, behold, in the we're well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. That means, I mean, she didn't have it going on no more. She was sagging everywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all feel like that, you know? I gotta find somebody while I still look good. Amen. You know, and many people sit up there, I'm in the prime of my life. I don't want to blow it. Somebody say, God, I'll bring it back if you're 100 years old. Amen. Somebody say, hallelujah. And we all young people in here. Y'all going to love me, right? Amen. So here she's out there. This is all in the Bible. And many of us would have been all mad. Why didn't you hook me up when I was 15? You're going to wait till I'm 100 years old. Amen. So Abraham thought just like my girl over here is thinking. Amen. And he ceased, and it ceased to be with her in the manner of woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed. Where did she laugh? Within herself. And many people teach this, and they say, Sarah bust out laughing. She didn't bust out laughing. Sarah laughed on the inside. You know, she thought it just like we think it. Amen. She heard God say something. Anybody heard some stuff that God said he's going to do for you? And it's just, I mean, it's almost like a joke. I'm going to do this for you. Amen. Yeah, right. Some say it's all right to laugh as long as you believe. And many people think that God got mad at Sarah. He didn't. I don't think he got mad at her. I don't think he was reprimanding her for laughing. Amen. It's all right to experience life. Amen. When God says he's going to do something, to enjoy it on the inside. Amen. But Sarah laughed on the inside herself, saying, listen, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. These are people of faith, isn't it? God blesses people of faith. Amen. Shall I still have pleasure, Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? There's a deep teaching right here when you really think about it. In families, there are certain people that are called to have responsibility of the condition of the hearts. You can't control the hearts, but you have the ability to influence the heart. And Abraham, being the head of his household, God didn't deal with Sarah. He dealt with Abraham and said, listen, why is Sarah laughing on the inside of her heart? A lot of things that are going on in the hearts of your families, men and parents and even pastors and different people where God's put you in authority over different individuals, God will hold you responsible for many of the issues that go on in the hearts of the people that you have authority over. He didn't speak to Sarah about her heart. He said, Abraham, why is she laughing on the inside of her heart? Like, what, you know, like this is a joke to her or something. Amen. We get up there and go, you know, we bring our kids at church and they see certain things, they get all blown away and they can't believe by faith. They can't just take God at his word. And we look at them and say, see, that's how they are. That's how they are. God's not going to speak to that person that's on the outside. He's going to look at you and say, listen, why are they dealing with this on the inside of their heart? Obviously, Abraham, you didn't tell her some things that she needs to know. Amen. Abraham, why are you walking this one level and your wife seven steps behind? Why is it that when I come into the place, amen, I can come into the room and you're going to cook me this meal and you know exactly what to do, but she's way on the back burner someplace. Amen. I'm telling her she can do, you know, all these things and she's sitting there laughing on the inside. How many of you have people that are invested into your life that God's called you to bless and speak into your life? Now, if God came to them and gave them a promise, what would they do on the inside of their heart? A big thing about faith is witness. We use our faith to demonstrate the power of God, to manifest things, amen, that it might be a witness to others. So he looked at Abraham and he said these things, amen. And wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? He said, why did she laugh? And why is she sitting up there questioning what I said? I believe God will speak that to certain pastors and certain church leaders and certain people when people go to get words that God wants to do stuff for them and they're looking at you like they're crazy. And God's going to look at you and say, why are they looking at me like I'm crazy? Where is your faith in God? Have you developed your faith to where if God will promise you something, will you be taken by the surprise or will you believe God at his word? And then the Lord said, listen. He said, listen, is anything too hard for the Lord? Everybody say that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the problem. That's what I want to talk to you about just a little bit. Maybe we have to kid it tonight. I want to give you a couple more minutes. Amen. But the Word of God, everybody say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are you laughing on the inside because you believe what God wants to do for you is too much, too big, too hard to handle? Somebody say, at the appointed time, I will return. according to the time of life, and Sarah will have what God promised. Somebody say, amen. Say, is anything too hard? Now, if y'all get with me and act like you're real happy, we'll get you out of here. Amen. Go to, everybody go to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And just write that down. The same Jesus. Somebody say, same Jesus. Today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Right here in the Bible, there's another person right here. It says, for nothing, for with God. Somebody say, with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing shall be impossible. As Christians that have God, listen, he said, lo, I'll be what? With you always and for what? Ever. He said, how many have, when you receive Jesus Christ, he comes to live on the inside of you? So we say, praise the Lord. So if Jesus Christ is living on the inside of you, the Bible teaches us that if he's with us, nothing is impossible. That's some power. That's some power. So Jesus said, listen, you'll be able to speak to mountains and they'll get up and move out of your way. Look at somebody and say, Pastor Rods believes and is trying to tell you that nothing is impossible for you. How many got some stuff out there that seem impossible? It's not. Go over to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. I believe when God gets in your face, he gets in your face and gives you something only he can do and says you deal. Glory to God. It's not too hard. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is what? Impossible. With who it's impossible? Amen. With people. But, somebody say, but. With God, some things. Are y'all reading the same Bible? But with God, what? All things are what? Possible. How many of you want to have just blow away every little margin in your life? Well, there's a 50% chance of this happening, 60% chance of that happening, 30% chance of that happening. How many would like to live a lifestyle where you hear God and you believe God and what God says in your life, that's exactly what's going to be? Well, you know you can have that kind of life with a God that says nothing is impossible for you. Somebody say, nothing is impossible. I want to tell you about one story real quick, then I'm going to let you go. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. I'm trying to get this thing across to you. About a year from now, we'll start to hear God speak us things and we'll start to believe it. Jesse, I believe what God's about to do for y'all was an impossible thing, but God's pulling it off. And I'm still trying to keep my mouth shut because it's just blowing me away. I'm sure you're being blown away too, aren't you? Somebody say, faith can do anything. Somebody say hallelujah. That means you've been set free, doesn't it? Some of y'all been bound. Bound by your income bracket, bound by your habits, bound with background you came out by, all that stuff, and just says, listen, that's as far as you go. That's, you just missed it. Amen. You don't have enough cookies in your basket, amen, to go any farther. Amen. You just expanded yourself. It's all over. You didn't trash it. But thank God. Somebody say amen. With God, you get one of them passes. You know, you ever gone to baseball games or football games? You know, and they can look at your ticket, and the color of your ticket tells you how low you get to go down. Amen. Somebody say, you know, if you got the wrong number, they say, don't even think about it. You get your butt back up there on the top level. Amen. You better use your faith for some binoculars. Amen. But if you don't have that right ticket, you can't go to the front. Amen. Well, there are certain Christians like that. There are certain beliefs. They will only go so far in life, they'll only go so far with God, amen, because of the ticket they believe they have. Tell somebody, I can go. Tell somebody, I can go. Wherever I want, I can do Whatever God tells me to do, nothing is impossible. Don't y'all gonna be going up to heaven when you see Jesus? When you meet Jesus in the air, you're gonna be sitting there complaining to him why you didn't have the best. When he sat up there and told you, with God, nothing's impossible for you. I would have done it, Lord, but I just couldn't get it done. That was hard. Moses had to get them children of Israel out of Egypt, didn't he? And when he came up against that water, amen, I mean, it looked like they were finished, didn't it? And many of us would have given up and said, that's it. Well, I got them this far. Amen. Maybe next time. If he would have let his faith stop him on the other side of the water, he would have been in trouble. But he said, listen, this water is not going to mean nothing. I'm going to get these people across. He spoke to the water. Guess what happened? That water rose up and they went through the middle. Why? Because he knew that nothing was impossible for him. He said, amen. And one of the multitudes, somebody say multitudes, in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. This is a good one for around here because we need to increase our faith there. And as I was studying this, I can recall before we had certain things start to happen in our body. Y'all remember before certain ones start showing up and said, hey, we need to start to fast and pray. Y'all remember that? And we didn't know why. Y'all were just telling us that we need to start to fast and pray. Amen. Now listen. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, now there are certain people, write down these groups of people. Write down these groups of people. This is really important. Multitudes, congregation. Amen. Well, wait a minute. It's really multitude, crowd, congregation, disciple, inner circle. Write it down. Multitude, crowd, congregation, amen, disciple, inner circle. With God, you have those groups. And in those groups, different people are going to come out. Jesus taught his disciples, but he ministered to the multitude. Amen. So here's somebody was coming that didn't have any faith, didn't have anything. He was a part of the multitude, and he brought an impossibility to Jesus. What would happen if we got an impossibility today? Because we choose not to have faith and to believe God and trust God, we call God impotent. He just doesn't do that no more. Lied on him. So we say, amen. They lied on God instead of depend on God, instead of trust God and represent God the way that he told us to. We care more about our reputation than God's reputation. We don't want to have to put up. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't get people healed, so we just say he don't do it no more. Amen. We can't get people set free, so we say, oh, he just doesn't do that no more. And the multitude said, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wherefore he taketh him and teareth him. He foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pinneth away. And I spake unto thy disciples, and they that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, isn't this amazing? Now, here somebody say, the multitude in the New Testament knew that the disciples of Jesus Christ should cast out devils. Somebody heard that Jesus was casting out devils and Jesus was fixing things. And not only Jesus was fixing things, he told them disciples to do it. He said, I brought them to you, but they could not cast out this demon. And Jesus looked at that person. How many ever brought somebody to Jesus and couldn't get it out? Amen. I believe the multitude needs to come. When they find out that we're true disciples of Jesus Christ, they need to bring some cases to the church. Amen? And the church needs to do something about it. And many people say, listen, and they could not cast him out. He came complaining to Jesus that his disciples weren't able to do this mighty work. You know that same thing happens in church today? I wanted to punch somebody in the mouth. I had to pray for deliverance about 7 or 8 months ago. You know, because they said, listen, I came in here, you couldn't get it out of me. No, I couldn't get you out of it. Amen? ain't nobody gonna be wrestling all night long with no devils. The Bible says you speak the word and they will flee. And that's all we got to go with by the word of God. Amen? You speak the word and the devil will flee. And there are a lot of people that want to sit up here and play patty cake and keep you up all night long screaming and hollering. Amen? You know what? You got to have faith and you got to speak God's word. And you know what? When you take, if you do anything differently than what Jesus told you to do, you're in unbelief and doubt. Some people say, well, listen, you got to make sure it happened by what you see. No, I walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. I believe the moment that I tell that sucker to go, I don't care what you look like. It's gone. Some say, only speak the word. And some of us are going to get some cases in here. Amen. People are going to come in with some stuff that's so heavy. And they had it for 7 years. And that's the only attention they get. Every once, you know, ain't nobody ever tell. I never got to go to prom. I never got to be the ballet dancer God wanted me to be. I never got the limelight. I never got the stage. But ever since I had this demon, and I've been drawing, having a show every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Friday night. Somebody say hallelujah. And then here there's people. Here is something that's going on right now in Scripture where they came to Jesus and said, listen, I brought them to these people and they couldn't do it. It'd be like someone said, listen, I brought this case to that church, and that church couldn't help that person one bit. They couldn't get the devil out. And everybody teaches this way. Jesus turned around to the disciples and rebuked them because they couldn't make that person any better. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When you look at this scripture right here, it says, and he answered who? Verse 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. And Jesus answered the man from the multitude. And he saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? Bring him unto me. He did not rebuke that disciple. The disciples weren't rebuked because they didn't have what this guy was trying to say. They didn't have enough faith. They couldn't help me. He's expecting these disciples to get chewed out. He turned around to the individual and said, listen, O faithless generation, how long should I be with you? Somebody say, you. Point at somebody and say, you. If you're going to get better, you got to get in agreement with God. It's between you and Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, I wasn't with him. Amen. When he bled and died, when they beat him on the back, I didn't get one stripe. What you're going to get from God, he did it for you, and it's between you. It's your faith. We can preach to encourage your faith, amen, but you got to reach out and touch God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to shut up. You'll get out of here at 12:30. I'll stop right at 12:30. My clock up here says 12:22. But I'm sitting here trying to tell you that God can do anything if you let him. But you've got to have faith. And so many people are coming in here saying, I want, now listen, there is a gift of faith. There's a gift of faith. You know, when the gift of faith, where you go by the faith of the individual up there. But no, it's got to be your faith when that thing is not manifest. You don't have to wait for some special anointing to come in the room. You can touch the heart of God. Somebody say, amen. He said, they couldn't cast him out. He said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and he saw him straightway, and the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Anybody fall on the floor foaming at the mouth and acting like this? In the Bible, it was a devil. Okay, with the diagnosis today, it's a devil. Somebody say amen. It's not the individual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. Amen. So say, that's really crazy. Amen. Then why can't they cure certain things? Why can't they cure certain things? Why can't the church take care of things that the world can't take care of? Do you know that certain psychiatrists are sending people to churches to get delivered? And they say, oh, it's a shock therapy type deal. That's what they call it. You know they're now doing that? We went to Dean's wife down in San Antonio one time, and she went to the doctors. And they were told, they're telling doctors right now, pray with your patients. We find out that people that pray are getting better results. Somebody say hallelujah. And they tarried him, and he fell on the ground. And he said, how long has he been this way? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters. Somebody say, to do what? To destroy him. And certain people sitting there playing around with devils, messing with this, messing with that, and they think, oh, it's just the devil. It ain't going to hurt me. I just get a little mad every now and then. Every once in a while, I just get upset, and I just want to hit something or hit myself or hurt myself. Oh, it's not going to do me any harm. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, that thing's trying to destroy you. It's not trying to take you out and have a party with you. Amen. People out there partying with the devil think he loves you. They like to hang around you. He's trying to kill you. Amen? Amen. Why is he trying to kill you? Because you're supposed to do something so big? It gets me. There are a lot of people think the devil messed with them because they got this big mission with God. No, he's killing you just because he doesn't like you. Oh, he just knows that I'm going to do something great for God, so the devil's trying to stop me right now. No, he just don't like you. You ain't all that. Somebody say hallelujah. I've seen people that had devils and were proud of them. I mean, they start ranking them up. I can carry this many. I mean, before you even talk to them, you know, say, well, go on with them. You're so happy about them, then keep them. One person told me, came in here about 4 years ago when we first started church, had demons. Called up and said, hey, I want you to come and cast these demons out, but don't bring nobody with you when you come because I don't want to scare them. Given condition, how are demons going to come out? Somebody say amen. Click. Somebody say hallelujah. Are we getting anything this morning? You still got 5 minutes talking about demons. Amen? And then here this man, and there are certain multitude of people coming here too now. They come in with this attitude. What can you do for me? I mean, they come in here to, you know, this man stand up in front of Jesus. And he said, listen, remember we studied that passage in the Bible when Sarah tried that stuff? She started laughing. Can I have pleasure in my old age? And here this man said, Lord, trying to be sweet. People come in here with all kind of stuff, you know, and our kind of words, and we don't understand that God's ways are above our ways, and we got little trite things. Oh, Lord, if you could do this, just help me. You know, and half of us, we said, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that just humble? Isn't that just sweet? It insulted the heart of God. Listen, but if, somebody say if. First of all, don't you ever. You can say, if it be some, you know, you got to be really careful when you use the word if. Because God's not subject to circumstances. Somebody say amen. Sit down. Now, he said, if thou. Now, I already know. You see, he probably had this attitude. I know your disciples can't do nothing. But if you can do something. How many people are like that? Doctor couldn't do nothing. That preacher couldn't do nothing. Kojic couldn't do nothing. Presbyterian couldn't do nothing. My mama couldn't do nothing. Been here, done that, done everything. Now come over here. Now God, if you, somebody say if you. If you can do anything, have compassion on us as if he didn't already have it. If you can do anything, love me because you weren't loving me before. And help us. Well, that's what he was there for. Please help me. And people like that stuff. Everybody, you know, ooh, help me, Jesus. Y'all thank God I only got 2 minutes. Amen. Everybody say, help me. Help me. There ain't no stories in the Bible. I'm falling and I can't get up. Somebody say amen. There was somebody that was at the pool that was troubled, water was troubled. He said, hey, every time I try to get in the water, nobody will help me. Somebody say, amen. Tell you what, if nobody chooses to help you, you better go to God for yourself. Somebody say, amen. Glory to God. I'm trying to get there. Man, help me. Now, if you can do anything, have compassion. And Jesus said unto who? I hope I get to talk to Jesus. Hang out with him because I bet you he was something else. The man was bad, wasn't he? He's sitting in bed telling him and half these other people that gave him some big old religious statement. Jesus said, now listen. And Jesus said, hey, if if you can believe. He said, if you can do anything, he said, no, if you can believe. It's not what God can do, it's what you can believe. He can do whatever you believe him to do. Somebody say amen. Somebody say it's on you. The if is on you. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. He's saying, God, what's possible to you? What's possible to God? Everything's possible to God. But what is that? What becomes possible to you? Somebody say hallelujah. How to make the things that are possible with God possible with you. Now, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. So Jesus was sitting up there telling you, now, I can do all these things. I could do it before I even knew you. Before you even showed up, I knew exactly what you need. Before you even pray, God knows exactly what you need before you even pray. You think you're going to change his mind concerning your healing, your deliverance? No, you're just going to learn how to pull and cause those things to manifest. Amen? And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him to believe. And straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my what? Unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out and enter no more into him. That's all he did. Somebody say, praise God. He didn't wave a flag. He didn't dance a jig. All he did was speak to the spirit. Somebody say, glory to God. Well, he's our example. All he did is speak to the thing and say, go. And the boy's got to go. Somebody say hallelujah. You can cast a devil out of people. You can't cast people out of devils. Amen. Now, and he said, when Jesus saw the people came running, he charged that spirit, thou deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out. And he was dead, in so many said, he is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples said unto him, why? Somebody say, why? Couldn't we do it? Jesus covered them, but they said, why couldn't we do it? How many of you want to start to do stuff like that, be able to speak? And Jesus looked at them. Now, this is the backup, Dean. We were sitting there talking about when we get into this fasting stuff, why we got to fast and do all this other stuff. And as I was studying this scripture, with God, nothing's too hard and nothing's impossible. Somebody say, fasting makes impossible things possible. He said, why can't we do it? Why could not we cast them out? And he said unto them, this kind, somebody say this kind. There are some kind of things. There are different kinds of spirits, different kinds of situation. This kind can come forth by nothing, so nothing, but prayer and fasting. He said you didn't have the lifestyle that would cause this thing to listen to you and do what you wanted to do. I'm 2 minutes over. I would encourage you this morning. I would encourage you this morning to develop a lifestyle of prayer. You know what? When he said, listen, back there when God knocked on Abraham's door, Abraham said to God, come on in, you know, and let me take care of you. Let me bring you comfort. Prayer and fasting comforts God. When we become God's comforter, the Holy Spirit will become our comforter. And then we'll start to walk in this new level of faith to where we'll speak things, and the things that we speak will start to happen to us. Somebody say, praise God. Look at somebody as you're standing up this morning. Somebody say, and say, you can do it.
You can do it.
With God.
God.
Whatever your situation is this morning, family situation, business situation, financial situations, any impossibility in your life this morning, any one of them, I want you to know it's not impossible with God. Run quickly and get what God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Say nothing.
Nothing
is too hard,
or impossible
with God. I love you, people. Father, let's close our eyes and we'll pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your word went forth this morning. We thank you that your word went forth in the heart of these people, Father God, and they're going out with a new faith and a new confidence, Father God, to grab a hold of things that only you can give them, Father God. Father God, lift their eyes up to higher, better, and stronger things. In the name of Jesus, let them see themselves in a brighter light, Father God. Let them see themselves completely whole and taken care of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love your people. Love others as you go. Amen. Be here tonight at 7 o'clock. Yes, sir. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh. What's her name? Beecher? Mitra. Okay, let's pray for that right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray for Mitra right now in the name of Jesus. We speak to that body right now. We say, live, Mitra, and don't die. We curse that cancer. In Jesus' name, God, give her life. Father, send angels across her path and people of great faith to inspire her and to encourage her. Turn that situation around right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that Jesse's there on his job as a witness and an ambassador of you, ministering to that family. God, help, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get us some good music. Amen.
As we rest here.